The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parsha is Parshas B'Shalach. Parshas B'Shalach starts by Yehi B'Shalach Parei Esa'om. When Paray sent out the nation, we are dealing here with the Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Exodus, and also with the Kriyas Yamsuf, the splitting of the sea. Melenocha melekim derech eres plishtim ki korafu ki omar elekim pen yinoche mo'om bireiso milchoma v'shavu Mitzrayim. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not lead them in a particular way towards the land of the plishtim, of the Philistines, because he was afraid they would see war and return to Egypt. Instead, he took them by the way of the desert to the Yam Suf, to what we refer to as the Red Sea. Actually, Yam Suf really means the reed, the Sea of Reeds. And they went out armed. And Moshe took with him the bones of Yosef with him. He took the casket of Yosef. Ki hashbeya ispias b'nei Yisrael lemor. Because Yosef, who was the king of Egypt a number of years before when Klal Yisrael, when the family came down, before he died, he made them take a shvu, an oath, that pokod yivkeid elekim eschem. There will be a time when HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not forget you and come to take you out of this land. Do not leave me here, but take with me my remains, my bones. And they went from Sukkos. This is where they had gathered that night. This was on the 15th of Nisan, the night of Pesach. They gathered in Sukkos the next morning, and they were leaving the next morning, the first day of Pesach. And then they went to camp in Esom, which was right next to the desert. And then the Torah relates how they went to the sea. They reached the sea on the seventh day, the eve of the seventh day. And that's when the splitting of the sea took place, and then the return of the waters, and the final destruction of Egypt. And this is why we read the Shira. The Shira took place then, the song. This is why we read this Parsha on the seventh day of Pesach, which is actually the last day of Pesach, because that was the final redemption. Golus, outside of Eretz Yisrael, we had an eighth day. The Pasuk which deals with Yosef, that Moshe took the remains of Yosef with him, because he had made an oath. This is really seemingly out of place, because here we're speaking of the Exodus, the going out of Egypt. What does this have to, in all of the miracles that took place and the war that's going to take place, the possible when Paray will gather together his men and pursue them and try to bring them back? So why here, right in the middle, Vayikach Moshe Satzmas Yosef Imay? That Moshe went and he took the remains of Yosef with him. I mean, that's a very important factor, but it's not part of the Yetzias Mitzrayim of the Exodus. It's not an integral part, it would seem, that it should be written here. Actually, the Gemara tells us in Masechta Sota, it gives us a little background to this. Sechtesote daf yud gimel, it states, Tone rabbonon bo urei beurei kama chavivos mitzvus al Meshe Rabbeinu. Come and see how dear mitzvus are to Meshe. She called Yisrael kulen isasku bebizo. Right before they went out of Egypt, so all of Yisrael were trying to gather up as much wealth as possible. Hashem had told Yisrael that when you leave, do not leave empty handed, but take from your Egyptian neighbors all of the wealth possible. And Moshe was concerned with something else. V'hu nisasek b'mitzvus. He was concerned with mitzvus. As it states, Chacham lev yikach mitzvus. The wise will not pursue physical wealth.
but rather they'll pursue mitzvahs, because the reward of mitzvahs is far greater than that of physical wealth. Physical wealth you have in this world, but eventually you're going to leave it, you're going to forsake it to others. Well, mitzvahs are forever. You take with you all of the time. So therefore, the wise person, the wise businessman, will invest in mitzvahs. And that's what Moshe did. That, at that time, Moshe went to Sorach Bas Osher, Sorach, the daughter of Osher. She was the oldest person of the generation. Nishtayore me'eisador. She was from the previous generation, yet very old. She was the daughter of the original 12 sons that came down to Egypt. And he said to her, "Do you know where Yosef is buried?" And she said, "They put Yosef in a steel casket, and they sunk it in the Nile River. Kedeshis Baruch Meimov. In order that the waters will be blessed with Yosef." Because ever since Yaakov Avinu came down, and we see with Yosef also, the Nile River would always overflow, and all of Egypt relied on the waters of the Nile River. It was a place that had no rain for irrigation. So Moshe went to the river, and he said, "Yosef, Yosef, higio eish nishma HaKadosh Baruch Hu shanigei leshem. The time has come when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is coming to redeem us. And now we have the oath to fulfill. If you show yourself good, if not, then there's nothing further that I can do, and you must relieve me of the oath." Tzof areinei shel Yosef, the casket surfaced. That's one version. Mora brings another version. Others say that she said, Kavranit shel Malochim hayakover, that he was buried in a special cemetery which was reserved for the kings of Egypt. Moshe went there, and there were literally hundreds of burial places and hundreds of stones and monuments and buildings, structures. And he didn't know where Yosef was buried. So he said the same thing. He said, "The time has come for Hashem to redeem us. Mara atzmecho, show yourself. If not, there's nothing further I can do." Nizdazea areine shel Yosef. The casket of Yosef started to move. And from there he recognized where he was buried. Notole Mesha. So Mesha took the casket and he brought it to the camp. Now, v'chol osan shonim shohayisra b'midbar hayishnei areines halolu. Not only did he take it with him, but the Gemara tells us that for the entire 40 years in the desert, the people were led with two areines. Areines shel meis v'areines shel shechina. One oren of Yosef, and the other was the ark, which had the Sefer Torah, or the tablets, in it. And when they used to meet other nations, and they used to say, "Mativen shel shnei areines halolu," what is the explanation that you're led by these two? One shel meis, and one shel shechina. V'chi madako shel meis lalech im hashechina. When you carry the oren, the ark of Hashem, you don't usually carry next to it a casket of a dead person. So they would answer, "Kayim zeh kol ma shekosev bzeh." We carry them both together because this one has fulfilled all that is written in the other one. The other one was written, the Aseres Adibros, the tablets. This one has fulfilled everything that is written. See, here we see not only a background as to what does it mean he took the bones of Yosef with him, but we see that he actually led the people, not only when he went out. When they went out, But the whole 40 years in the desert, he was in the lead, together with the Arein Shel Shechina, with the Ark of the Shechina. Now, from here we see that this is the Torah is telling us. As Moshe went out, he took the remains of Yosef. This is not just merely a fact that is placed here, but this is an integral part of the Exodus. That just like Klal Yisrael, we're going out, it was necessary for Yosef also to go out and to go out and lead them and be in front of them. And the Medrash says explicitly, there's a Medrash that states, Vayiboku Hamayim, when the sea was split, with what schus, through what merit did the water split? This was the greatest public miracle that ever took place to Israel. This in the going out of Egypt. A sea should split. An ocean of water. And Israel should go through it on dry land. Israel should go through it on dry land. And there were 600,000 Israelites, but that was only the men from 20 to 60 years of age. There were all the women, all of the children, all of the older people. There was many millions. And they should walk through the dry land. And then when the Egyptians follow, the waters return and destroy the most prominent nation, empire of the world at that time. And the sages tell us, Vayiboku Hamayim Hayam Leinemar, it doesn't say the sea, it says the water. Kol Mayim Sheba'olam. All of the waters in the world split at that time. So this was an enormous miracle.
What was Israel's chus? Medrash says, "Bishus Yosef nifku amayim."
Bishus, the merit, was the merit of Yosef. From here we see, this is not merely another fact, but this was part and parcel of the Exodus. That Moshe should take Atzmei Yosef imoy, the remains of Yosef with him. That Yosef was a prime participant in the Exodus. That's from one aspect. From another aspect, we see another individual was a prime participant. This was Yehuda. The Gemara tells us in Masechta Sota, Daf Lamed Vov, Amud Beis, the Gemara says, Yehuda kiddushem shamayim v'farhesha. Yehuda sanctified the name of the Almighty publicly. Nikra kulei al shmei shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. His name encompasses all of the letters of Hashem's name. Yehuda is spelled with a yud and a hey, a dalad, a vav and a hey. And these are the letters which are in the name of Hashem, the Yud, the Shem Havaya. And it's not merely coincidental, but it states because since he was going to sanctify HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name publicly, he was destined that he should be named with the letters of the Almighty. Now, the Gemara asks, Yehuda Mahi, where do we find that Yehuda publicly sanctified HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name. So the Gemara brings and Daf Lamed Zayin when they came to the sea, Amalei Rabbi Yehuda, when they came to the sea, Zeh Eimer Ein Ani Yeret Chila Leyam, Zeh Eimer Ein Ani Yeret Chila Leyam. No one wanted to go in. The sea hadn't split before they went in. It states, Sogar Aleihem Amidbor. They looked around. Behind them was Parai and his choice soldiers and chariots. On the sides was a desert. In front of them was the raging sea. And they panicked. They didn't know what to do. They didn't want to go in. HaKadosh Baruch Hu went, excuse me, Moshe Rabbeinu went, and he called out to Hashem. And Hashem answered him. He says, here all of my children are in such a tzora. They're in such a predicament. Why are you standing and doing nothing except praying to me? So Moshe asks, what should I do? So Hashem said, go tell the children of Israel to go forward, and when they go forward into the sea, then you take your staff, stretch it out over the sea, and the waters will split. So Moshe told them to go forward.
But
no one wanted to go in. They were afraid. So they were standing there.
Kofatz Nachshon ben Amminadav. Nachshon,
who was the descendant of Yehuda,
he said, I'll go in. And he jumped in. Vayorad leyam tchila.
And the Medrash says that he went into the water until the waters were up to his neck, and he cried out, Hashem Yimloch Le'olam Vayed. Let HaKadosh Baruch Hu will reign forever and ever.
At that time, the sea split. So here, Yehuda, through his descendant, sanctified HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name publicly.
Because everyone saw that it was the hand of the Almighty, and he caused Hashem to rule.
What was his reward? Israel.
He was rewarded with kingship. As it states, we have in Tehillim, we're all familiar with this because this is one of the paragraphs that we say in Hallel.
It states, "B'tzeis Yisrael mi Mitzrayim beis Yaakov me'am le'eis." When Israel went out of Egypt, the house of Yaakov, from a foreign tongue, "Hoyso Yehuda lekotshoi," Yehuda became his sanctuary. Yisrael mam shleisov, and Israel became the dominion, the subjects, his subjects, Yehuda's subjects. Then it states, Hayom Rov Ayonos Hayadei Nisof Le'ochor.
The sea saw and it fled back, and also the Yarden, the river also. Sages say that all of the waters were split. So the Gemara says, Matam Hoyse Yehuda Lekotshev Yisrael Mam Shaleshov. Why did Yehuda? He became the sanctuary of Hashem, and Israel became his subjects. In other words, he became a king. Mishum da hayom ro vayonos, because the sea saw and fled back. When the sea saw Yehuda, his descendant Nachshon come, moved back. And through this, he was Zocha, he merited to become the sanctuary of Hashem and the king of Israel. Rashi explains Yisrael mamshaleisav the Yehuda sheniskadesh limshol bohem. Israel became sanctified to become their king. So here we see that Yehuda also played a prime role in the Yetzias Mitzrayim and in the splitting of the sea. We have these two powerful individuals. Let's explain this a little further. Yosef not only led everyone out of Egypt, like we saw, but he also was a leader in Egypt. As it states in the end of Parshas Vayechi, Anechi achalkel eschem vestapchem. I will take care of you. I will take care of you and your children. I will sustain all of you. He sustained all of the children, all of his brothers, and he sustained even his father in Egypt when they came down from Eretz Canaan, from Eretz Yisrael. And even further, we see that he actually led the family into Egypt. Because why did they come to Egypt? The reason they came to Egypt is because Yosef was there. And Yosef went first. He was sold, and this ultimately led to the others coming down to Egypt. So we see that not only did Yosef lead, we see his casket was in front, going out of Egypt and going through the sea, and all the time in the Midbar, in the desert. Not only did he lead the family out of Egypt, he led the family in Egypt and he led the family to Egypt. And the reason for this is that Yosef was the greatest of all of the brothers. And not only was the greatest of all of the brothers, but he was like Yaakov himself. The sages tell us, that Hazal tell us, he was so great that he could be compared to Yaakov, to his father himself. Where do we have some illustrations of these? We'll mention a few. In Parshas Vayeshev, right at the beginning, the Torah tells us, Ele told us Yaakov, Yosef, ben Shva Esri Shono. These are the generations of Yaakov, and then it starts to tell us about Yosef. The sages ask, he had 12 sons. What happened to the others? Why does it only tell us now all about Yosef? Rashi brings, Tola Akosef told us Yaakov be Yosef. The Torah illustrates the children, the generations of Yaakov, all in Yosef, for many reasons. Firstly, Shekolatz Mishel Yaakov Leovar Eitzel Lovan El Barochel. He was his main son, because the whole purpose that Yaakov went to the house of Lovan was for Ochel. This that he married Leah was because of the deceit of Lovan. And the firstborn of Rochel, even though he was born much later, he was born right near the end, but the firstborn was Yosef. A second reason, Shoyazuv Ikunin Shal Yosef Deimalei. They looked alike. The radiance of Yosef was similar to the radiance of Yaakov Avinu. Now this is something very important, because the Gemara tells us in Perek HaSeches HaPeilim, Shufra de Yaakov ki Shufra Dor Marishon. Yaakov had a radiance which resembled the radiance of Adam HaRishon, of the first man. And the radiance of the first man was very special indeed, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself created him. He made him. And it states he made him Bitzalmeinu, Bitzelem Elohim, in his own image. And this showed in particular in the radiance of the first man. It's a Gemara we've quoted many times, that they were once looking for the cave where the first man was buried, and they found it. Later on they asked him, what did you see? He said, I saw the two heels of Adam HaRishon, of the first man. They were as bright and radiant as Shnei Galgel Gale Chamo, as two balls of the sun. The heel is usually the darkest place of man. The face is the brightest. The heel is the furthest from the face. And he was showing the great brightness and radiance of Adam HaRishon. And the Gemara says Yaakov resembled them. And Yaakov was the perfect man. Ish Tam. He rose to perfection to become Yisrael, the father of Klal Yisrael. It states that Yaakov's image is shown on the Kisei HaKoved, on the throne of the Almighty. This is why it's brought in Parshas Vayishlach, when he was sleeping, it states the angels were coming down and going up, and they were getting all excited, because they were looking at this man, and they were looking at the image on the throne of the Almighty, and they wanted to kill Yaakov, because they said he has stolen that image. Hashem Nitzov Olov, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to guard him. So now that we say that Yosef resembled Yaakov, so this has great significance. Further, Kol Mash Yira LeYaakov Yira LeYosef. We find in so many things that happened to Yaakov, the same thing happened to Yosef. Rashi mentions a few. Zenishtam v'Zenishtam. Each one was hated. Yaakov was hated by Esav. Yosef was hated by his brother. Ze'ochav mevakish lohorga. Ze'ochim mevakish lohorga. Esav wanted to kill Yaakov. The brothers wanted to kill Yosef. Bechein harbe. Rashi just mentions a few. If you look into the Medrash Rabbah on this, we don't have time this evening to go into it, but the Medrash Rabbah mentions about 20 incidents of which took place to Yaakov, and the identical incidents took place to Yosef, with Yosef. This is one illustration. Further, in a few psukim later, in Parshas Vayeshev, it states, Vayisrael ohav es Yosef mikol bono. Israel loved Yosef more than all of the other sons. Ki ven zekunim hulai, because he was the son of his old age. He also liked Seinus Pasim, and he made him this coat of many, many colors. The sages asked that he was not his ben zekunim. He was not the son of his old age. Binyamin was born later, when Yaakov was older. So what does it mean? So Rashi brings again Bar Chachima. All of the wisdom that Yaakov had learned, and Yaakov knew the entire Torah, he taught specifically to Yosef. And he loved him more than everyone else, because Yosef he could identify the closest with, because Yosef was so much like Yaakov. And also like Seinus Pasim, he was grooming him to become a king and a firstborn, which we'll explain just now. Another illustration that in Parshas Vayetze, states that after he had worked for so many years by the house of Lavan, and he had all of his children up to Yosef, this is in Bereishis Lamed Posuk Chof Hei, when Rachel gave birth now to Yosef, Yaakov said to Lavan, Shalcheini ve'elcha al-makemi el-atsi, send me back now and let me go back to my home and to my land. Now why all of a sudden now? So the Chazal tell us, Rashi says, till now he was afraid to go back because he was afraid of Esav. Esav was waiting for him. Once Yosef was born, Mishanelet Sitno Shel Esav, then no longer was he afraid. Once Yosef was born, now he said, I can go back and face Esav. Because Yosef was the ultimate manifestation of the powers of Yaakov. Right? Said Yaakov was like a fire, like a coal, without a flame. Yosef was the flame. Esav would be like straw. Just like the flame is the ultimate manifestation of the powers of the fire, this is also true with Yosef and Yaakov. Now further, he chose Yosef to be his firstborn, even though he wasn't his firstborn. He was next to his lastborn. And the reason for this, firstly, the firstborn doesn't only represent, especially at that time before the Torah was given, the firstborn didn't merely represent that one that was born first. Like we see with Yaakov and Esav. Esav was born first and still Yaakov was considered the firstborn. The firstborn represented the Godel Shebabais, the leader of the house amongst the sons, the greatest of the sons, the one that resembled the father the most, and that was Yosef. A second reason is, he said, he is my firstborn because I went to Lavan because of Rachel, and only on Rachel was it written Eishes Yaakov. She was considered Akeres Habayis, the main wife of Yaakov, and she and Yosef was the firstborn of Rachel. So therefore he says he is my firstborn, and because of that, in Parshas Vayechi, this is why, because of that, in Parshas Vayechi, Yaakov tells Yosef, this is in Mem Ches Posukov Beis, Vani Nosati Lechosh Chem Achad Alachecho, I am going to give you an extra portion more than your brethren. Rashi brings, he brings two explanations. One of the explanations from Chazal, it's actually a Gemara in Bava Basra, he says that I'm going to give you an extra portion over your brother, your brethren. Why? Because I am giving you the Bechera. I'm giving you the firstborn birthright. And the firstborn takes an extra portion. Because of all of this, he gave the brochas. Avraham received the brachas from Hashem, Lech Lecho, and again at the Akedah. And Avraham gave these brachas to Yitzchok, and Yitzchok gave them, wanted to give them to Esav, but he gave them to Yaakov. Yaakov gave them to Yosef. If you look in Parshas Vayechi, by the brachas, where he gave brachas to all of the sons, the word bracha is not mentioned by any of the sons, except by Yosef. And by Yosef, it's mentioned 6 times. It states on the brachos, it says, Mekel avicho v'yaz reko, v'eish shaday v'yivocheko, b'yicho shumayim me'ol, b'yicho stom revetz istochas, b'yicho shudayim v'rocham, b'yicho avicho govro al b'yicho sheiray. 6 times is mentioned the word brachos. because these brachas he was giving to his son Yosef. The Gemara tells us even further. The Gemara Masechta Seita and Daf Lamed Vav Amud Beis states Tanya Hayarei Yosef Lotzes Mimena Yud Beis Fotim, that in actuality Yosef had the potential greatness to give birth to 12 sons, Kederich Shiyotze Miyakov Aviv. 12 sons as great as the 12 sons that his father Yaakov gave birth to. As it states, Ela told us Yaakov Yosef. Now here the Gemara expounds this pasuk a little differently. Ela told us Yaakov Yosef, these are the generations of Yaakov, and then it states Yosef, to tell us that all of the generations of Yaakov, Yosef was equal to. He could have also done that. But with the episode of the wife of Potiphar, even though he saved himself from that episode with flying colors, and that was one of his greatest merits, like we'll see later, but there was a time when he had decided to yield to the temptation. She used to come when he was a servant in that house. She used to come and she used to try to entice him and tempt him. And the Gemara tells us on a daily basis, every morning and every evening, in every possible way. And she couldn't. But there was one time that he had yielded to her temptation in his mind. And because of that little infraction, it states, he lost that merit. Otherwise he would have been able to produce 12 sons. Ela told us Yaakov Yosef, just like the generations of Yaakov Yosef would have produced. Nevertheless, the Gemara says, Afal became Yotzem ibn Yomin. Yosef and Binyamin, they were the two brothers, the two sons of Rochel. And from Binyamin came 10 sons. Yosef had 2 and Binyamin 10. And the Gemara says all of the 10 sons, Binyamin had given names after Yosef. So that's how it eventually came out, but not like its potential. And therefore, Yaakov had groomed Yosef to be the leader, to be the king, and he gave him a coat of many colors. And this is why we find that he actually led the people. He was the first to go to Egypt, and he ruled the people when they were in Egypt, and he was the one who led them out. We find even further. When the family was in Egypt, during the time of Yaakov, of Jacob, there was no tzoros. There were no problems. In the beginning of Parshas Vayechi, this Parsha starts with, generally a Parsha starts with some type of indentation, where we see it's a new chapter. This chapter is written in the Sefer Torah without any indentation. Why? Lama Pashas Ustuma, Rashi brings. Lefisha Kivan Shanifta Yaakov Avinu Nistuma Inehem Velibam Shal Yisrael Mitzoras Ashibut Shehishkil Leshabdom. Because in this Pasha, Pashas Vayechi, speaks of the death of Yaakov. And as long as Yaakov lived, things were glorious in Egypt. They were in Eretz Goshen, in the most fertile part of the land. And Yosef was feeding them royally. Once Yaakov died, then it sort of started. Now, actually we find that the tzoros really did not take hold, not only after Yaakov died, but after Yosef also. Because in the beginning of Parsha Shmos it states, Vayomash Yosef v'chol echo v'chol adorahu, Yosef died, Vayokom elechodosh asher leyades Yosef, and a new king rose up that did not know Yosef, Vayomer Amo, and he said to his nation, Havon ischak melei, let's go and take strategy against them, otherwise they'll become stronger than us. And that's where the plan came in to enslave them. So it was only after Yosef died. Now why is it that as long as Yaakov lived or Yosef lived, there were no tzoros? So the Maral explains, because Egypt was not strong enough to rule Yaakov or to rule Yosef. The greatness of Yaakov was that which no nation could rule, and especially Egypt. It states, what kind of nation was Egypt? The prophet says, Psorim kipsar chamorim, their flesh is like the flesh of donkeys. They were a nation, an animalistic nation. The worst abominations that used to take place in the world was in one of two places. The Gemara says, Egypt and Canaan. And many times when the Torah tells us that there's a specific abomination that we should distance ourselves from, the Torah states, because kizeh maase Mitzrayim, because these are the acts of Egypt which I have taken you from. This was Egypt. Well, they were full of sorcery, witchcraft, and idolatry, and bloodshed, promiscuity, whatever, all of the lowly animal acts. And that's why the prophet said, Psorim kipsar chamorim, they are a nation like donkeys. And specifically the donkey, because the donkey's name is Chamor. Chamor in Hebrew means chomer. Chomer means matter. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created man from matter and from spirit. Dust from the earth, and he imbued him with a spirit from above. And the donkey, that's why he's so slow and sluggish, he's very physically strong. He's the pack animal. He has more matter in him than all of the other animals. This is why he's called Chamor. And that's all right for a donkey, because this is how he was meant to be created. But when people become like that, well, then it's a very, very serious situation. When people become like that, it means that their physical matter, the earth in them, has enslaved the spirit in them. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world just the opposite. That the spirit of man should rule the physical matter of man. Just like man rules a donkey doesn't rule over man. That's how he created man, that he, the spirit, should rule over himself. Now Yaakov was the ultimate in the spirit of man. As we mentioned, he was the perfection of man. Ishtam Yosheva Oli, where his image was Suras Ponov, his image was hewed out in the throne of the Almighty. He was the ultimate of the elevation of the spirit that rules over matter. So how could a man like Yaakov be ruled by donkeys? Impossible. Therefore, as long as Yaakov lived, Egypt could not lift a hand. Yosef, that was like Yaakov, the same thing. As long as Yosef was there, also Egypt could not lift a hand over them. That's why it states, Vayomas Yosef, Yosef died, Vayokom Melech Hodosh, then a new king rose up, Asher Lo Yoda Yosef, that did not know Yosef, and then he started to enslave Klal Yisrael. But before then, Egypt could no more enslave Yosef or Yaakov than donkeys could enslave men. Now, we see, therefore, that Yosef was a king. And it was right that he should lead the people out, just as he led them in, and that he should lead them through the sea and in the desert. But one final question in regard to Yosef. What was his chush? What did he do? Or what things did he do that brought him to this level? The Medrash says as follows. It states that when they came to the sea, as we said before, the Medrash wants to know with what chush, what merit with the water split. So it says, through the merit of the casket of Yosef that was leading the people. How do we know? So the Medrash says as follows. David HaMelech wrote in the capital in Tehillim that we say in Hallel, Hayom ro vayonos. The sea saw and it fled. Hayadei nisef lo'ocher. And the Jordan went back. Ma ro hayom. What did it see? It saw something and it fled. What did it see? So the Medrash says these same words, Vayonos, Vayonos, we find by Yosef. Yosef, in the episode of the wife of Potiphar, this is in Parshas Vayeshev. In Parshas Vayeshev, Posuk Yud Beis, Perek Lamites, Posuk Yud Beis, says Vatispesehu. V'vigdei le'mor shich v'imi v'yaze v'vigdei b'yodo v'yonas v'yetzi achutzo. That when the wife of Potiphar went after Yosef, she grabbed him by his garment, by his cloak. He left the cloak with her and he ran out. He ran and went outside. So there it states v'yonas v'yetzi achutzo, that he ran outside. And by the sea it states, Bayar Hayom Bayonos, that the sea gazed, it saw something, and it fled back. So from here we link the two together. That the sea must have seen something which had to do with Yosef. Mikan, from here we see that Bishus Yosef Nifko Hayom, that through the Shus of Yosef, the sea was split. What did it see? It saw the casket of Yosef in front of Israel. Now it seems, at this point, it seems a little strange that we should make an analogy between these two psukim that seem to have nothing to do with each other. But actually, if we look in this parsha that has to do with the wife of Potiphar, we see four times it's written Vayonas Hachutzo, that he ran out. One time I mentioned, then it states further, when she saw that he left his garment and he ran outside. A second time. Then she went and she called her servants and she said, when I cried out, he left his garment, Vayonas Vietze Hachutzo, and he ran out again. He ran out. And then a fourth time she went and she was telling her husband, Vayonas Hachutzo. So four times is repeated there that he ran out. We see the Torah wants to emphasize something. Vayonos, he ran out. And this is the same we find by the sea. Vayar, it saw, Vayonos, and it ran back. So we make an analogy between the two. But what does one have to do with the other? So the Maharal explains as follows. In order for the sea to split, this takes an enormous greatness upon Klal Yisrael. Because generally, oceans or rivers or waters do not split. The water is the chomer. This is the material substance of the world. And the material substance of the world does not move unless through a greater force. For example, if you would make an explosion, you could get the waters to move. But that's only if the force of the explosion was of greater force than the waters. You could imagine what kind of force of explosion you would need to move an ocean. So material matters do not move unless they're moved by a force greater than them. We said that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, he created the spirit to move matter. Just as an animal is made of matter and is ruled by the spirit, so did he create the spirit to move matter. Actually, the Medrash brings that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I move the waters for one man. I certainly should move them for Yisrael. When did he move the waters for one man? Because it states when he created the world, it states that the waters covered the entire earth. And he told the waters, Yikovu Amayim, gather up into one place, in order that there should be dry land. Why? Because I want a place for a man. So for one man I did it. How much more so than for a whole nation of people? Now, when Klal Yisrael came, and they were led by Yosef, in order for the waters to move, there had to be a force there greater than them. And this was the source of Yosef, the merit of Yosef, that he bequeathed also to his descendants. Because this was illustrated in many cases, but at its best, with the episode of the wife of Potiphar. When it came to that episode, where she tried to entice him and to tempt him on a daily basis, and the Medrash says he was a young boy, and he was away from home, miles and miles and miles in a different country, and he was a lowly servant, and she would have given him wealth, treated him royally, if he would have listened to her. And here we find the struggle between the spirit of man and the physical matter of man. And it wasn't only here. Yosef had all types of enormous trials and tribulations in Egypt. He was uprooted from his home. He was to be a servant. He later was to be a prisoner in the dungeon. He later was to be elevated to viceroy of the most powerful nation. And we know that power and wealth corrupts. And he later was to become the wealthiest man in the world, because it states, Vayelakeit kol kesef sheba'olam, the Gemara brings in Masechta Psochim. that he went and gathered up all the wealth of the world. And still, when Yaakov was reunited with him, he was very concerned. What happened to my son Yosef? He was concerned. This is why Yaakov was so brokenhearted when he lost him. But when he found that he was still alive, and he's the Moshel, he rules Egypt, he was very happy. But again, he was concerned, because Yosef was the apple of his eye. And he was wondering, after 22 years in Egypt, what has happened to him. And still it states in Parshas Shemos, when it lists all of the sons, afterwards it says, V'Yosef Oyer B'Mitzrayim. Yosef was in Mitzrayim. And Rashi tells us, what is it telling us that? We didn't know that. V'chi ohono lo ha-yodim. Ele le'adiachot tzidkosi shel Yosef. To tell us the perfect righteousness of Yosef. This was the same Yosef that was the shepherd by his father. This is the same Yosef that went to Egypt. This is the same Yosef that became king of Egypt. The Omid B'tzidkei and his righteousness were the same. Was the same. Not only that, he continued to study Torah there. The Targum says, Kaim Uraisa B'Sisro. Secretly, he continued to study Torah, and he brought up two sons that were to become as great as Reuben and Shimon, as the sons of Yaakov. So Yosef didn't move. The whole time he was in Egypt, he did not move from the enormous height he was when he left his father. And the greatest illustration of this was with the wife of Potiphar. What was this? This was the victory of the spirit over the matter. And this showed that Yosef was not a slave. He was no one that could be enslaved to Egypt, but he would rule Egypt. And this is what he did. He came to rule Egypt. And not only could he rule Egypt, when a person becomes a slave to himself, he'll end up being slaves to others. This is what we see by Chum. When a person becomes a ruler over himself, he will end up ruling others. He ruled Egypt, and it was with this power he moved the waters. He ruled the waters. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, let the waters split. So now we see what the Gemara is telling us. That it's telling us, it states, Bayar Hayom, the sea saw, and it ran back, it saw something that pushed it back. Bayonos. And we see this Bayonos written four times by Yosef when he ran away from the wife of Potiphar. So we put two and two together, and the casket of Yosef was right in front. We say this is what the sea gazed at, and it ran back. So this explains to us what Yosef is doing here, as that they're going out of Egypt. It states, Vayikach Moshe es atzmes Yosef imoy. Moshe took the remains of Yosef with him, because this play, besides there was the oath, but this was to play an integral part in the Yetzias Mitzrayim. Now we said there was a second one involved also, and that was Yehuda. What was Yehuda's role? We'll have to be concise on this. Yehuda also, we find, was a king. He was a leader of the brothers. Fact is, it states in the Parsha Vayeshev, right after they sold Yosef, it says in Perek Lamed Ches, Vayhibo Esahi Vayedid Yudim Esechov. It was during this time that Yehuda went down from the brothers. And he moved away Yehuda. Why? So Rashi tells us, he went away from the brothers because the brothers blamed him for what they did. that they sold Yosef later on when they saw how upset their father was and they realized what they had done, they blamed it on Yehuda. The question is, why should they blame it on Yehuda? We do not see Yehuda had a greater role than the other brothers. To the contrary, Yehuda was the one and said, why should we kill him? Put him in the bor, put him in the pit. So why did they blame Yehuda? So Rashi brings, Horidu Echo Migdulosai. They demoted him from his leadership. Kishoro Bitsoras Aviya Mamru Atomatala Mecha Ilamatala Shiva Yunashemim Loch. You said we should sell him. You said, why should we kill him? And why should we leave him in the pit? Sell him? Had you told us to return him to the father, to our father, we would have listened to you. But this still doesn't make sense. If they have complaints, tainas, they have complaints on Yehuda, let them have complaints on themselves. Who told them to listen? So my Rebbe Rav Gifter once said on this, but later on I found that it's in the Medrash. Because Yehuda was the Melech, Yehuda was the king. He was the king of the brothers. And that's why they put the responsibility on his shoulders. They said, you told us to sell him, had you told us to return him to his father, we would have returned him. And therefore, Horiduhu Migdulosoi, they demoted him, and he had to go away. So we see Yehuda himself also was a king. And if we look into the brochas, we'll see in Vayechi, Yehuda got more brochas than any of the brothers, with the exception of Yosef. Not that the word brocha is written, that's exclusively by Yosef, but he got more brochas and more lavish brochas than any of the brothers, except Yosef. And one of the brochas that was given to him is Lo Yosef Shevet MiYehuda, that the staff of kingship will never be removed from Yehuda, Midovid VeElech, from Dovid HaMelech onward. Kings will always be from Yehuda. They are the rightful heirs to the throne. Actually, so we see there were two kings. This incidentally, we've spoken about this in the past, but this incidentally is what created the kina, the jealousy between the two factions of Yosef and Yehuda, because there were two kings there and two most powerful individuals. But at any rate, Yehuda was a king, and from him was to come kings. And the Gemara tells us, the Gemara that we quoted in Masechet Seita, it says that Yehuda also had a hand in splitting the sea, because when they came to the sea, nobody wanted to jump in. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe, don't stand there. Parai and his soldiers are coming behind you. And you have the desert closed in. Soga Aleam Amidbor, you have the desert on both sides. Go forward. And Moshe told the people to go forward. He said, only after you go forward can I split the sea. Nobody would go forward. Ein ani yeretz chilo. Until Yehuda, his descendant Nachshon, jumped into the sea. And he cried out, Hashem Yimloch Le'elom Vo'ed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will reign over everything, even the sea. And only when the water came up, it states right to his nose, his nostrils, did the water split. And it says that from here Yehuda was Zeicher to Malchus. This put the seal on his inheritance to kingship. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, the Medrash brings, Mishihim Lachani Alayam Tchilo, Hu Yimlech Al Yisrael. He who has caused me to reign over the sea, he will reign over Israel. And that's what it states, like we said, that B'tzeis Yisrael Mimitzrayim, when Yisrael went out of Egypt, it says, Hoyisa Yehuda Lakotshai, Yehuda became sanctified, his sanctification, Yisrael Mam Shalaisov, and Yisrael became the subjects of Yehuda. He became sanctified through that act to become the king over Israel. Now, the Gemara tells us, is another Gemara. And the Gemara states another episode in Yehuda. This is on Daf Yud, Amud Beis, Masech Teseita. The Gemara says, it says, Yehuda shekidu shem shemayim befarheshe, Yehuda sanctified Hashem's name publicly, and therefore all of the letters of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name is in Yehuda's name, like we are in Yehuda's name, like we explained. Except that Gemara refers to one episode, this Gemara refers to another episode. It says, where did Yehuda, and that Gemara is referring to his descendant Nachshon, this is referring to Yehuda himself. Where did Yehuda sanctify, the Gemara says, Hashem's name publicly? Where do we find it? So it says, in the case of Tomer. Yehuda had a union with Tomer. Unknowingly, he didn't know that she was a daughter-in-law of his. It was unknowingly. But nevertheless, this is what he heard. Later on, it was found that Tomer was pregnant. She actually was carrying twins. And he took her to the Beis Din Shel Shem. This was during the time of Shem, the son of Noah. And they had an edict. Even though she was a single woman at that time, her husband died. But they had an edict at that time, after the flood, that they would treat promiscuity with death. And therefore, and Yehuda was a shofet, he was a judge. And therefore, they ruled she should be put to death with fire. She did not want to reveal who was the father of the twins that she was carrying, because she didn't want to cause a scandal. And this would have caused a tremendous scandal, because Yehuda was from the most famous sons of Yaakov. He was the king of the brothers. He was a judge. And this would have caused an enormous scandal that would have ruined his name. And incidentally, the Gemara brings from here, we see from Tomer that it's better to be thrown into a furnace of fire than to publicly scandalize someone. So she did as follows. She had taken some security from him. So what she did, he would say, this is in Parshas Vayeshev, he would say some Bosukofe, Perik Lamet Ches, as she was being taken out, Hishilcho Elchomia Lemor, she sent these items that she had taken for security. And she said, the one who owns these items, he's the father of these children. And she said, please recognize, who does this ring belong to, and who does this garment belong to, and who does this staff belong to? The Gemara says, when she said, please recognize, she was saying more than that. She said, Hakirno, one second. Bivakosho mimeko. Hakir pnei boracho. Don't only recognize who owns these things. Recognize who HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. Val talim einecho mimeni. And do not close your eyes to me, because you are in the midst of destroying Gimel Nefoshes, three lives. Now Yehuda was faced with an enormous dilemma. He recognized who they belonged to, and he realized that it was him. What should he do? Should he admit? Then he's ruined. He's ruined for life. Because then the scandal will be known, and he's finished. And here, this was the choice, one of Yaakov Avinu, the leader of the brothers. And from him was destined to come kings of Israel. Even the Melech HaMashiach is going to come from him. So how can he take that responsibility to destroy himself and everything else? So he must conceal the fact for the sake of the future of Israel. But then how can he do that? And let Gimel Nefoshes, three people be killed, three innocent people. And let someone else suffer for a crime that's his. And this is what was going on in his mind. It was not an easy decision. And that's what she said, Hakir and all. So it states, Vayake Yehuda Vayemer. Tzotku mimeni. So Yehuda decided, he said no. He says, regardless of what the consequences might be, and regardless of what the future might be, I have to be meida ala emes, I have to admit the truth here, and I cannot let this woman with her two children be killed. So he says, Sotko, she is righteous. I'm at fault. Then he said, Mimeni, they are from me. The Gemara says, he didn't say Mimeni, because how did he know they're from, how did he know they're from him? He knew he had a union with her, but he doesn't know necessarily he's the father of these children. Maybe she had a union with someone else. So the Gemara says, he didn't say Mimeni. A bas kol came. A voice of heaven came down and said, from me, they're from me. What does it mean, Mimeni? From HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mimeni yotzu kfushim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered, once he said, Sotko, she is righteous and I'm the guilty one. So then HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I caused this. Mimeni, the union was my doing. I caused it. Because from you were destined to come kings. And I wanted those kings to come from her. And therefore I caused this union. And Rashi brings in the Masechet Makis, Daf Chof Gimel Amud Beis, from me this union was caused in order that these two sons should be born. One was Peretz was to become the ancestor of David HaMelech, of King David, because I wanted two sons to be born that would go and conquer the world. David Umeshicha ilotzeis mimeno. David HaMelech, King David, and the Melech HaMashiach. Now, the Gemara says, this is the case where he publicly sanctified HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name. Because he placed HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name in front of his name. He gave it greater priority. If I would lie, I would save my name. But if I tell the truth, and this stand up in the name of what is right and wrong, this is the honor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is the king of the world, who creates what is right and wrong. And he gave that more priority than his name. Now he thought he was destroying his name. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, because you were destined to sanctify my name publicly at the cost of your own name, then all of the letters of my name I will place in your name. And that's why Yehuda's name is spelled with a Yud and a He, and a Vav and a He, all the letters of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now this was enormous gevura, enormous strength. And again, this was the strength of the spirit ruling over matter. Because we have Maisim B'chol Yom every day, the world we live in. Everybody places their name in front of someone else's name. If there's consequences to suffer, there's 1,000 reasons of justification why I should lie and let the other one suffer the consequences, not me. And Yehuda was ready to sacrifice his own name for HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name for what's right and wrong in the world. this is an enormous level in gevura and strength. What kind of strength? The strength of the spirit of man that rules over matter. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you thought you were destroying yourself. Had you lied and kept quiet, you would have destroyed yourself, because she would have been burnt together with your two sons. But by rising to this occasion in public yet, and destroying your name in public for my name, that's an act of enormous gevura, strength, and kingship. And from here will come out kings, because from your two sons, Yitzhar and Peretz, Zerach and Peretz, will come kings, and two sons that will go conquer the world. One will be King David, Dovid HaMelech, and the other will be the Melech HaMashiach. And it was this strength that Nachshon, his descendant, inherited. And that's why when they came to the sea, and everyone was panic-stricken, what can we do? Nachshon knew what to do. He says, I know this from my grandfather, Yehuda. Yehuda didn't worry about his own name. He didn't worry about his own life. He worried only by what was right and wrong in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So this he also did. And he jumped into the water and he said, let HaKadosh Baruch Hu reign forever. And the waters split. And again HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, because you made me rain, you placed me in front of your own life at the sea, from you will continue to come kings. This was the role that Yehuda played, similar to Yosef. It's interesting that we see that not only that through both of these individuals, they helped to create the Exodus, the Yetzias Mitzrayim, and the Kriyas Yamsuf, the splitting of the sea, but the Gemara Darshins, the Gemara expounds this from the same pasuk. Bayar hayom vayomos, because by Yosef it says the sea saw and it ran back, and it equates that with Yosef's running back from the wife of Potiphar. And by Yehuda it states B'tzeis Yisrael miMitzrayim, Hayesu Yehuda leMemsholo, Hayesu Yehuda leKotshei. Yehuda became sanctified, the Israel Mamshaleso, and Israel became his subjects. So the Gemara Darshans, why? Because Hayom Rov Ayonos, the next pasuk, because the sea gazed and ran back. In Yehuda's case, what did the sea see? It saw Nachshon. It saw that power come into the sea. That was a force strong enough to move the sea. If that force could move Yehuda to do what he did, then it was a force strong enough to move the sea. And it was this that they destroyed Egypt, and they ruled over Egypt, and they ruled over the sea. This gives us an explanation both in this parsha and why it states right at the going out of Egypt, Vayikach Meshe Esatz Meshe Yosef Imoy, that Moshe took the remains of Yosef with him. And this also gives us some explanations in the past parshas that we missed during the break.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at PO Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.